DW.
The Ottawa River today is gently lapping the Gatineau shoreline, but just a short time ago, it was devastating to the people here.
This was ground zero for the flood.
John Goodore Savage, like his neighbors on Rue Jacques Cartier, recalls vividly what it was like to be overwhelmed by the flooding.
It was like being in the movie Titanic, and the water was coming out of the seams of the basement, all the pipe holes, the sump pump. Parts of the basement I never even thought water could come out of.
But I did understand in one night the water rose 2 feet.
Yeah, it seemed to have risen about 2 feet. It came right from the road, and it was just right up around the house, and then it just kept raining and raining. And
quickly, the road which lies along the river's edge became a waterway.
A friend of mine brought his canoes down, over 30 feet long, and we fit in tons of sandbags. So it was kind of like going back to the roots of this community. We were working 14-hour days with 3 hours sleep, and you're running on adrenaline. And
Marco LeBlanc, John's neighbor, stands outside the Italian-style white brick building he built himself.
We have too much work to do to try to save our house, you know.
Next door, a parking area at the rear of his daughter's house now looks like a lake. The tops of half a dozen cars and a boat are still visible. Marco's bedrooms and a living area were flooded with 4 feet of water, destroying the household contents, which now sit in a mound at the end of the driveway, destined for the dump.
It's a TV. I do have a pool table.
A pool table?
Yes, it's around there. I do have a bedroom set from my father. It's about 1940 set. A full set was gone. You see the desk over there, the mirror and all.
Sofas.
Sofas.
Clothing.
Clothing and see it pretty at the table and a lot of stuff. Like you see the whole set.
Yeah.
Oh, it's terrible.
And the same goes for many of the houses across this city. Mounds of wrecked furniture and sandbags stacked along people's driveways. It's as though Gatineau has just emerged from a siege. The army was called in to help here and in other parts of Quebec, including the city of Montreal. Battling this natural disaster overwhelms civic authorities.
Hey, Frank. Peux-tu me sortir les stats de qu'est-ce qu'on a fait à date? Là?
At regimental headquarters in Gatineau, Lieutenant Colonel Eric Landry, a veteran who has served in Afghanistan and Bosnia, considers the nature of his adversary.
The enemy is the water and the weather.
And yet, this has been a big operation.
We filled and placed over 100,000 sandbags. We've picked up 145,000 sandbags. We rescued 174 people, and we patrolled over, 9,000 kilometers.
The army deployed 2,600 troops to meet the challenges posed by the flood, and even intelligence officers were brought in to apply their unique skills to a natural disaster situation.
They'll track everything from water levels to who knows who. So what we call the white essay, so the white situational awareness is who's in charge, who's the mayor of what village, what does he do, who does he speak to, and it allows me to speak to the right person.
Lieutenant Colonel Landry also had the use of 30 armored vehicles, remarkably waterproof it seems, as well as assault boats.
Just like Venice. So the streets were filled with water. A lot of the houses had beside the house, they had probably a meter of water. So, unheard of in 100 years.
As he toured flood-ravaged areas of Quebec, Prime Minister Justin Trudeau warned of more severe weather events due to climate change. One of the things that we are aware of is that the frequency of extreme weather events is increasing and it's related to climate change, he said. We're going to have to understand that bracing for a 100-year storm is maybe going to happen every 10 years now, or every few years. His warnings echo that of the majority of the world's climate scientists, including Paul Beckwith from the University of Ottawa.
We've been setting records left, right, and center with climate change for a long time, but the rate is accelerating. And it's really ramped up in the last 5 years to decade. But in a warming world, we've changed the chemistry of the atmosphere, of the greenhouse gases in the atmosphere.
Including carbon dioxide, emitted when we burn fossil fuels to power our cars, airplanes, power plants, and our homes. Beckwith says climate change has affected the behavior of jet streams, making weather events more severe for longer.
The jet streams have slowed down and are much wavier, and they guide storms. So their storms are moving across areas slower. So if it's a rainstorm, that rain is hitting one area more than it would before because the storm stays above for longer periods of time.
Friendly young assistants greet me as I arrive at the busy office of Steve McKinnon, Liberal MP for Gatineau. His office is on the sixth floor of a renovated heritage building, which McKinnon proudly points out is a net zero structure. His office is a few steps away from Parliament and just a short drive over the Ottawa River to his afflicted constituency. McKinnon, who visited the flood-devastated areas, says his government is leading the charge against climate change.
We have set out a very aggressive set of commitments to ensure that we meet our Paris commitments, targets that limit the temperature increase, we hope.
Canada has committed to reducing carbon emissions by 30% below 2005 levels by 2030, something McKinnon appears confident the government can achieve.
Many solutions to combating climate change are market-based solutions, do involve factoring in the cost of pollution, and that's why Canada has come up with a carbon tax or a cap-and-trade system. The adoption of renewable energy technologies, both in Canada and around the world, certainly in Europe, in China and elsewhere, is such that fossil fuels will someday ultimately be replaced. We have to wean people off of that oil. We understand that.
Yet critics point to a contradiction between the government's commitment to tackling climate change and its approval of new oil pipelines. Here's climate activist Katie Perfitt, from the campaign group 350.org.
Then as soon as he got elected, within months, we saw that he approved three massive fossil fuel infrastructure projects.
We're standing by the Chaudière Falls, which tumble forcefully between the cities of Ottawa and Gatineau. They raged, lashing at the nearby bridge during the floods as the powerful Ottawa River burst its banks. Perfitt says the government's commitments don't go far enough.
Trudeau strutted into the Paris Climate Conference, championed in that conference hall a 1.5 degree target for global warming. Scientists have said, 2 degrees is the absolute maximum threshold for global warming, but that 1.5 degrees still would mean devastation in a lot of areas. I mean, we're not at 1.5 degrees yet, and thousands of people in the Ottawa-Gatineau region are experiencing climate impact.
I put the fan all around like this. That one's blow that way, the other one just come like this.
Back on Rue Jacques-Cartier, Marco Leblanc has fans and dehumidifiers on at full blast, hoping he can dry out his house to save it. This has been a full-time occupation. He hasn't had much time to consider the impacts of climate change, but he has a few thoughts.
Maybe they have to do some things because you see that all around the world, they have some kind of trouble they don't have before, you know?
Do you think the government's doing enough about climate change?
I don't think so. They have to do something faster than that because could be not me, but might be my son and my grandchildren. They're going to have lots more trouble than we have.
Shan Griffiths, DW, Gatineau, Quebec, Canada.
DW,